parties. Today on When Calls the Heart, we're talking all about the season 5 finale. Quite the tearjerker, I know. We're going to talk all about it with special guest, executive producer Brian Bird, and showrunner Alfonso Moreno. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Our song.
Welcome back, hearties. Here we are at AfterBuzz TV. Yes. Here we go. We let the music swell.
Let the music get swell. That's
right. Here
we
go, because we love it so much.
Yes. There we go. Yes.
It's the season 5 finale, hearties. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here doing the When Calls the Heart after show for Close to My Heart. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini, and of course, I always have with me...
I'm James Lagini, you guys. Hi.
Hi. And then, of course, welcome back to our special guest in studio. We have, of course, you guys know who this guy is, Brian Bird himself.
Hi, hearties.
And we have showrunner Alfonso Moreno.
Hello. Glad Alfonso. To be here. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for being here, both of you.
Yes.
This will be a great after show.
Oh, yes, it is.
I'm really excited to talk all to the hearties all about this episode. But I'm in quite the tearjerkers. There's so much to discuss.
Yes. there's a lot to discuss.
So
yes,
much.
There is.
The things we'll be discussing, of course, Jack's untimely death and how Elizabeth is grieving, how the town is grieving, but all coming together. You know, of course, just everything. And maybe some devotions later, if we have time.
We have time
and,
yeah.
Of course, predictions at the end.
Marissa's predictions. Oh, jeez.
Oh, the predictions. Everybody loves predictions. Yes. But before we get all the way into it, what were your quick thoughts, James?
So, for me, and many of you hearties know this, I've been going through a lot of sudden deaths recently in my family. So, to watch this episode, and just in general, it was very hard for me to watch. But as you do in life, you go through it. And it just shows to me what a great production that happened, from the writing to the acting to the cinematography, direction, sets. There are things that I noticed this episode that I hadn't noticed before. That were some great art direction choices. I love what's about that as we get into the episode, that I really enjoyed. It really set the mood. There were actresses and actors on the show that they really came together and put their best acting forward. It was a top-notch episode. We were sad the whole time, which means it was good, but it was a top-notch episode for me. What do you think, Marissa?
It was really sad. I lost it in the first 3 minutes.
Yes.
And with, you know, the first flashback, and of course we'll definitely cover all of it, but when we had that first flashback of the whole funeral, I immediately lost it. I was like, okay, this is the whole tone of the episode. This is what the finale is going to be like. But and then I did love how there were moments of levity, which you guys do so well. And we had the balance of happiness and sadness very well mixed together, and which made entirely a great episode. Definitely really heartfelt and emotional at the same time. But I think it was executed so beautifully in the show.
And I just want to say, I think, and I was telling this before the show came on, this is going to be a kind of watershed moment for Hardy's history. There are a few shows where something happens on the show where everyone is affected, and it kind of stands as a mark. And I feel like this, the end of the last episode and this one, people are going to remember this. This is like Who Shot JR for Dallas fans, or even Bobby in the Shower for Dallas fans with the whole season of Dream. It's Luke and Laura on General Hospital. Like, there's certain moments that fans of that series are not going to forget. And they have produced some top-notch episodes out of it. And I feel like this is one of them.
Mm. Yes. So my question to both of you, Brian and Alfonso, now knowing the whole season, you've gone through the entire process of this season, and you watching the final product that was this finale, what were your thoughts of how it was executed and how the Hardys are reacting to it?
Well, this man right here, my left, deserves a lot of the credit, most of the credit for the beauty of this episode. I know it was hard to watch for the Hardys. But as I was watching, and I've seen it, you know, I don't know, 15 times maybe, what was so powerful to me is that, and Alfonso will explain this even better than me, but was that it was a journey through Elizabeth's grief, right? But it was also, she was holding the hand of the viewers. of the audience, yes, of the Hardys, who were going through the same journey with her. They're going to grieve Jack's death, just like she was, just like the town was. And honest to God, if I was a grief counselor, I would use this episode as a tool, mm-hmm, for people that are going through, mm-hmm, you know, a grieving process, because it was just, mm-hmm, so beautifully and rich and honest and authentic and all of that. And you know, I think it was the best episode of When Calls the Heart. It was the hardest one. But I do think in five seasons, this was the best episode that we've ever produced. And there have been some good ones.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
Yeah. Amazing but ones. This just set a new sort of, set the bar very high for us.
Yeah, I'm extremely proud of this episode. I think that everyone brought their A game to it. Mm-hmm. I think, yes, the director, the actors. You know, I was on set and I'd watch the performances, and for each performance they do one, you know, they do a close up on one, a close up on the other, and in each take I would be teary eyed, and it moved me, and I felt it would move the audience, and I think it did. And as a writer, that's what you want. You want to move them to laughter, or you want to bring chills to down their arms and back, or you want to move them to tears sometimes. It's all about moving someone, and I felt that this episode did that in a unique way, perhaps for this show. But I do think that and from the social media, we're seeing that it moved them sometimes to anger.
Yes.
But it moved them to tears and then to anger. And I think, like just grief, the audience in large part is going to move through different stages of grief.
Right.
And I believe they will come to accept it and yes, move, yes, forward.
I have a statement about that. You know, I'm Papa Jamie, so I got a statement, folks. I have, you know, I've been doing this. We're doing the show 3 years now, Marissa. I guess
yes,
it's our end of our
third
season. Because I can't believe that. It's kind of, I enjoy doing this. And we've done the books. We did the book series.
Yeah.
And we started, I am a Hardy for life. So for me, whether the show is on the air or not on the air, whether there are actors or actresses on the air or not on the air of the show, I will always be a Hardy. That's my number one, mm-hmm, thing. Because the Hardys thing is bigger than just the show. But also, the show is very important. This is where the Hardys were born out of. So that's like my kind of take on this whole thing. I'm sad too, but I'm a Hardy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you just covered, just not to put a time stamp on the timing of today, but you just covered the Facebook Live event,
yes,
that
you did,
covered,
yeah,
and we had Lori and Dan and Aaron all there talking about, you know, the unfortunate moving on of Daniel from the show, but. You also came out with a great message of, it's not just one person. It is a bigger puzzle. It is the small pieces all put together for a bigger picture. And I like that, and people need to take that into perspective, is there are so many moving parts in this show, and there's so many different individual parts that you can all love on its own. And that's what makes the whole show great, is when you put them all together, it's the sum of the parts. Is
right.
Better, is bigger than the sum of his.
Well, Hope Valley is bigger than any of the actors on the show or any of the characters. It's a state of mind, right? It's an ideal. The values and the virtues of a place like Hope Valley are just good for the culture, honestly. And so the show has become something of a touch point for everybody. Right, and all of the many characters that we have on this show are all rich and valuable, and there will be new ones, obviously. Right, coming in season six, but they're part of a community, and I think one of the reasons why the audience, why the Hardys have been so passionate, but also so angry, some of them, over what has transpired here, is because they feel so deeply about this,
yes,
thing. It's a member of the family,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And when you have a member of the family that passes away, mm-hmm, you feel all the emotions that you could feel. And like you said, the stages of grief, Alfonso, mm-hmm, there's some that are in anger, and they might stay there a while, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. God bless. We're here for you. We love the Hardys, and we will always be there for you. As we heard on the Facebook Live today, this was a decision that we had to deal with from a story standpoint. This is a human decision that Dan Lissing made for his own life, and we honor him for it. We wish him nothing but great success in the future, but his choice, not ours.
Right.
Right. Right? And so what do you do with that? Well, you have a show that's successful. You figure out how to integrate it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And tell the most emotional, powerful that's story right. that you can, with given those set of facts. And I think we did that.
I'm glad you said that, Brian, because some folks, I want to clarify, because some folks are getting mad at me already. Some people were on my side, but I'm just saying, yes, you have a right to watch whatever you want to watch or not watch. I'm just saying, for me, I'm a Hardy, and this is where the show is born out of, so I'm going to continue to support the show that bore the Hardys out of it. Right. That's all I'm saying. But everybody, of course, everybody has their right. And we'll be here for you when you come back.
Yes.
That's right.
Via the Hardys therapy.
Yes, we're here. We're here for you. You can still talk to us. You can come back for season 6. Come back.
Absolutely. We'll still be here.
Be angry right now. It's fine.
But it was interesting how you brought up the stages of grief, because that's what I said in our last half of the show. Eventually, we'll get to acceptance. And I think people all grieve on their own time.
That's right.
But I think for the emotional beats throughout this entire episode, I felt like the flashbacks were kind of the stages of grief. So you had different emotions throughout with the progressions of each flashback, which is usually not the linear type of storytelling that we get in an episode. But with every flashback, you can see the emotional progression of Elizabeth and even some of the other characters, like Abigail, throughout.
Right.
We started off sad, but then eventually got to a happy emotions throughout. And then I think the last one, well, one of the last ones was when she was getting Jack's horse. And she's riding Jack's horse. She's happy. You can see the progression of the emotional state of Elizabeth, and I think it was so well done in your flashbacks.
Also, when you did switches to like another scene, and you would flash to the house, the row of houses, because of just the art direction, the cinematography, that it was like I was crying just watching the when you would show that it's the next day now. You show that it's the evening, like how sad it looked. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's just like it wasn't a happy house anymore.
Yeah.
Those row of houses. There was one where all lights were off, except her light was on. It was like a faint light, and it just looked so sad. I was like, oh my goodness, it was just so sad. And I just thought that was brilliant. That's continuing the mood of the town, the mood of the valley. It's like it's sad.
Right.
Love that choice. Love those choices.
Yeah, I thought, again, everyone stepped up, art directors, the actors, the music I thought was beautiful. It evoked a lot of emotion. I'm really proud of the whole crew.
Right. As far as sad and morose as it was, it still looked beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think the funeral at the beginning and also the moment simultaneously where Elizabeth is just walking alone in the cemetery, blue but gorgeous
but
at the same time.
That's a case of like the world sort of coming together and making it work, because we don't have the budget to make that kind of mist. It just showed up that day for that scene. It just created this beautiful one of those. I mean, I felt you could take a snapshot of image of her walking in the cemetery and just put it on your wall. It was so beautiful.
Right. You
and
know
that was just like
serendipitous.
Yeah.
No, you know God shows up. When God needs to show, God shows up.
Yes.
Right, Brian?
Absolutely.
You know he does.
Absolutely.
He came for you guys.
Absolutely.
That day. I do want to ask about the choice of going 3 weeks in advance for you as a writer. That was a conscious choice to like not really show make the episode about the funeral and about it was a flashback.
I felt that if we started the very next day that the whole episode would be really weighed down with grief. So we needed a little bit of time to pass in order to tell the story of moving on, because you really can't move on very,
42 minutes.
I know.
Especially if you're binging this in the future.
Right.
You go from one episode to the next. I mean, and we've had a lot of time jumps from the wedding to the past the honeymoon and now to this. Mm-hmm. And do you find jumping in forward in time helps progress your storylines? Mm-hmm. Or do you find it's absolutely just necessary?
I think it depends on the circumstance of the story you want to tell. Like in this next year, I have an idea of how I want to, move time. But so it really depends on the particular story you're telling and how you want to jump forward.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes you need it to for just not only the story's sake, but for practical purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Sometimes the kids that are in the schoolhouse show up for the next year of production, and they have beards.
Javen is like suddenly a young man. I'm like, I was looking at him going, wait, is he extra taller than anybody else? Like, he seemed like he grew all of a sudden to me.
We love the children.
We do.
And we're always praising the children every episode, and especially they become so integral into every episode and how they're all individually getting their own episodes.
The way I'd like to approach a storyline with life lessons, right? And, you know, what Elizabeth can impart on these children in terms of a life lesson. But what I felt was really interesting about this last episode is that this grief and death is probably the biggest life lesson we can tell. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that even though some people are, you know, were upset about it, that is along the lines of what we do on the show, is talk about life lessons.
It's right in the wheelhouse. It's the most painful, life lesson, like you said, but it's actually the most important one for all of us. It really is. And we're not trying to force it on the Hardys. We're not trying to say, well, you need a life lesson for your life about this, but it definitely sinks times out with the need that we had to figure out how to resolve Jack Thornton on the show. And you know what? Good to have a few months off from Hope Valley to process this.
Yes.
As opposed to, let's come back next week for, you know, the next episode.
Well, you know, I think with the kids, too, there are lessons that adults can learn through kids, through child's eyes. I mean, you can see things and you can learn something, too. Right. So when you're writing for the kids, you're writing for everybody. Just it happens to be the kids' mouths are saying the lines and going through what it is. But it's for all of us. That's how I view it.
Yeah. Right. And what I really liked about this particular child lesson was with Opal in the finale, because she's arguably one of the youngest students and youngest kids on the show, and how grief and loss affects different people in different ages. And I think it was really relatable to touch upon that, for how children at her young age wouldn't understand or wouldn't know what to do during those circumstances. So what was your process of getting Opal in her moment of grief?
Well, I mean, I thought that was, you know, you try to sync up different things that when you write them, you don't necessarily know that it's going to go in a direction. We wrote the wedding episode where Jack saves her life, and then we're thinking, well, we do want his death to impact one child the most, and we thought, okay, it would be her, and she really delivered too.
Well, I love the her and Elizabeth had that. They have something in common. They both were saved by. I love that.
Very powerful.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I lost it.
Me too. No, I was crying like a baby. Yeah, but I mean, I thought, what a great. So, but like, going on to your thing of things coming together, it's like that really did come together. It's like, he went her. Oh, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. And also, who also, Elizabeth also now has in common with the other widows there in the town.
Exactly.
And I did love your callback to season one, where when Elizabeth did come into the town, everyone was fresh widows, as terrible as that sounds, but like they had just experienced this loss, and now it's something that's relatable amongst the women there that can help her through this grief. So
I loved those scenes. I love that first scene because, again, community come together. When I lost my brother a year and a half ago, a couple people at AfterBuzz lost their siblings, and they came to me. And because I had no idea how to process it. It was just such a weird losing your sibling at 47. They came to me and told me things, and it did help a bit because I just didn't know what to do with it. I mean, I don't know what to do. And I felt like Elizabeth, she doesn't know what to do with this. Yeah. What does she do with this? And to her, they all seem so strong. I was crying so much through this part of it, that I know how they feel. Like, they talk about their brothers now, and they're like, oh, yeah, I can look at pictures, and I couldn't look at pictures yet. I couldn't do anything yet. Elizabeth was there, too.
Right.
And these ladies each had a story, and we remember some of their stories, and we know. But you know, the person who got me the most, actually, was Eva Bourne, who plays Clara.
Right.
Yes.
Because her and Lori Loughlin's character, Abigail, have that connection, too. They lost the same person. But she also lost her husband, too, but they also lost the same person. Right. And when she says, I felt cheated.
Right.
That was the fans, too. That was the fans probably feeling the same way. And Elizabeth goes, that's how I feel. I'm like, when someone says something that connects to you, again, back to your thing of everything intersecting, it was just brilliant.
And to know you're not alone
just
makes a huge difference in life.
Yes. It was a brilliant writing. Brilliant writing.
Yeah, just so authentic.
Yes.
Right? And not was fearless, Alfonso, what you did there when you and Derek on that. The it's fearless to bring up something that's painful like that when you just want to put salve on the wound, mm-hmm. but you go deeper. You make the cut even deeper because it needs to be said. Right? That's an honest emotion that Elizabeth was feeling that Clara was feeling still years later.
Yes.
Right.
I like the choice that she was quiet at first. Right. I kept thinking, when's she going to say something? Because the other ladies were talking about it. But then when she said it, oh, and now I see why she's having a hard time speaking it.
Right.
But you had her speak it, which is very important to get it out there.
She wasn't past it yet.
She had to struggle to.
Yes. To say it. Her acting was, I told her on Twitter, your acting was just so amazing. She was trying to get it out.
Right.
And you could tell she was just like her. She was tight.
She's bottled up.
Right.
Yes.
And we saw a moment earlier in the season where Clara was having a hard time with Jesse because she was still feeling her feelings towards Peter. Yeah. And so we know that's still a looming issue for her. And I like how it's actually being addressed because she is younger.
Yes.
And affects people in different ways and in different ages. But I did love how you had the women help with Elizabeth's grief and that. And we had moments of levity, too, because also just, I love the quilt.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes.
But, it still kept the
light. You guys are killing me. I'm, almost crying again. Like, you guys are killing me. There's such good stuff.
Well, what I love especially about that is that, Alfonso, whether you thought about this or not, it's a big homage to the Hardys. That quilt, because there's been Linda Manhart and so many other of the Hardys have made these beautiful pieces for some of the actors and for the show and in the green room there. Some of those quilts that were handmade by
the Hardys. They're saying it was a quilt, a nod to the Hardys. It wasn't. I felt that too instantly.
Yes.
Wow.
I did see that, and I loved it. And my mom's also a quilter too, so I was like, "That's something my mom could make." I did love it. It was very sweet and wrapped in love. And I love that message, wrapped in love.
Right.
And I also love that he says, "What do you remember about each of your late husbands?" That was a fun part too. Started laughing, and well, the one when I think it was Florence who said her husband was so loud she could hear him.
My brother thought of me.
My brother goes, "Yeah, that's you, James. You're so loud, I can hear you down." Street. I chuckled.
And that was part of their progression from one scene to the next as they start remembering in a way that's less painful for them.
Yes.
So eloquently put together.
Amazing.
Absolutely. So before we move on, we actually have a message from our awesome founder here at AfterBuzz TV, Maria Menounos. I mean, we had Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos.
Yeah, they got to meet Kevin. Maria is his wife, there's newlyweds, so we love her. We love Maria. She has a podcast that's fun. You can learn from her, grow in all areas of your life. It's called Conversations with Maria. It's hosted by Miss Maria, our founder here at AfterBuzz. It drops every Friday on iTunes. It's every Friday. Features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to make your life better. Just all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationship, finances, and all kinds of stuff. Maria, for some people, is the big sister you want, and for me, she's the little sister. A little older than she is. Go to iTunes, subscribe to Conversations with Maria, rate, comment, and also say while you're there, who brought you there? James and Marissa from When Calls the Heart After Show.
And Hardys.
And she knows who we are. She knows who we are, so make sure you say it. So rate and comment when you're there. Conversations with Maria, it's out every Friday on iTunes. Go check it out.
And it's free.
It's free.
Free.
That's the best part. That part is free. It's free.
Of course, it's always free.
I like free.
Yes. So if you support us, which you Hardys always do, our founder, Maria Menounos, as well. Another moment that I loved, and James can definitely attest to this, Rosemary. Throughout this entire episode, she was so consistent, still keeping it light, but also a perfect balance of serious at the same time. I love the progression of Rosemary and how she kept everybody together in this episode.
How funny is that, right?
Yeah.
When she first started.
She was really needed in this because we needed that energy and that levity from her because of the weight of this show. She was indispensable. I mean, she's such a great actress and she did.
And she's evolved so beautifully too, Alfonso, this year especially. I mean, she has over the last few years, but there was some really great moves for her this year. And, for her to admit failure.
I know.
for Rosemary to admit failure, that's a pretty big jump for her, and very cool for rounding out that character.
Oh, as fans, now I have a huge crush on Pascal.
Yes,
that's my
I do.
That's my big crush on Pascal. I do, and she knows it. I love Pascal. I get to interview her, and I love her. And I love Rosemary. And so, and again, this season, watching her be a married person, watching her find her way, you know, dressmaking, substitute teacher. This episode is so good because we're seeing her and Lee, too, evolve. Yeah. And how he kind of dismissed her at first, like, well, you feel a failure. You're not like that at all. And then he realized she was serious. I love when he stopped, sat down next to her, talked to her, and then pulled her in for a big hug. Yeah. It was like, yes. Rosemary needs that, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, she's always kind of, she's out there and she's around, but she really is there for you when you need it. Yeah. Rosemary shows up, and she's not just this flighty, theatrical, over-the-top person.
Right.
She's actually a person.
Right.
And this season, you guys fleshed it out.
And we wanted to show in this episode the town's grief. Everyone was grieving in their own way. And so that was another opportunity to flesh that out.
But fans were like, that was our hug, too. I mean, it was a really good hug.
Yeah,
it was
a
really,
like,
he just, he pulled her in and was like, okay, I'm really sorry. I miss him, too. Mm-hmm. And for Rosemary, for her and Jack have all their own history and everything,
right.
And like, their own evolution. So, I mean, I'm glad you guys showed that. I'm glad you wrote that in there and you guys showed that.
Right. And I love how you guys show the beats of being in a married relationship, such as them. They've been married longer than Elizabeth and Jack has been. Has there been any storylines that you have given to Lee and Rosemary that could have been to Jack and Elizabeth? Mm. Or did you find the balance of what married storylines can we give to each?
I mean, I think their relationship is unique, so I think those storylines are unique to them. And I think the Jack and Elizabeth storylines would be sort of unique to them. I really enjoyed having a scene right after their marriage where there's a little dispute, right? Where they have to figure something out, and they do. But it's finding their way and then sort of reaching sort of an agreement on how to move forward. But we had never seen that before in their marriage, right? Sitting down, having breakfast, and having to deal with a minor stress in their life. So I felt that was unique, and I knew, I mean, it was going to be their sort of dynamic, and I didn't, you know, their history was going to, like, change me. And, you know, I knew he would be leaving, so there wasn't going to be, you know, I knew he was going to be going off on his into his new Mountie duty. So there wasn't a big opportunity to do that. So I knew that would be a small moment, but a profound moment for them.
I love when I love when you had an episode where Lee had to try to relax, and he could. I mean, you're showing that Lee is not perfect himself, because everybody thinks that Rosemary's like, oh, she's over the top, and I'm like, well, Lee has his stuff too, and I'm glad you guys showed that this season and why they're right for each other.
Right.
They complement each other. Yeah. And that happens in real life. I mean, there are people switch roles in marriages and relationships where one person's one way for another, sometimes it's the other. It goes back and forth, and you showed that with them, and it was really good.
You know, I was going to say one of the that question, Marissa, has given us a lot of pause over the last year and a half or so as we've been trying to sort out how to get through this transition on the show, and because Dan Lissing wasn't available for all the shows,
right,
because of his schedule and so forth, and we just felt like, okay, well, how do we weave that into the storytelling? Well, if he's not going to be available for all the episodes, then we got to send him off to, you know, do something important in his Mountie duties. And I think the you can see now in hindsight what we've all been working toward, right? Because there was no way to please everybody with every move, you know, over the last year and a half or so. But what was so awesome is that after Dan Lissing said to us, you know, guys, I please, you know, what do we do? How do we make this work? And the Hallmark Channel was incredibly supportive of this decision for him. We were all supportive of it. You know, the cast, everybody wants to see him flourish. And that's the Hope Valley way. Right, we've actually done stories about characters who had a dream, right? And we sent them out to go pursue their dream.
Pastor Frank.
That's right.
I know.
See? Right. See, all right. of those things are grace notes like that. Mm. And so the challenge of this transition definitely created some problems for us in terms of from a storytelling standpoint, but it was handled so much like a team. And we all went through our own five stages of grief on this,
yes,
right? But we just have had a lot longer to do it.
Yeah, that's true. And I will say, there were a couple episodes, Marissa and I, like, you guys packed in a lot of storylines in episode.
So many.
There were a couple episodes this season where we're like, wow, we have a lot to cover.
Right.
It was enjoyable. It was like, it's a lot. There's a lot of content.
Right.
Right.
That was good.
Well, broadening the show to encompass all the other important people in the town, it's not just the Jack and Elizabeth show. And, you know, there are some Hardys that kind of wish it was.
Yeah,
that's okay.
It's okay.
That's what they love. But
right.
We have never set out to make it just the Jack and Elizabeth. It's never been just that, right? It was never intended to be that. They happened to have the sort of the epic romance of the day on the table during these last few years. But honestly, the show is about the place and all those people, and that's important to us.
Well, I always thought when it first started, I always thought it was Elizabeth coming to a place and finding her place in the place.
That's right.
Right.
Say that 10 times fast. that's what I always thought it was, and so the characters would be just as important. Like, it's just, like you said, it's not just Elizabeth, it's all the characters, and Jack is one of those characters that she falls in love with. Right. That's what I thought it was about when it first kind of started.
Right. It is an ensemble show.
Yeah, right.
Because when you think of just the show itself, you don't just think of Elizabeth and Jack, you think of Abigail and Rosemary. Mm-hmm. You think of the entire cast. Again, the little pieces, part of a bigger puzzle, part of a bigger picture. And that's what I love about the show so much, because when Jack was gone for four episodes, even last season, season four, and this season, everyone is still living their life.
Right. Yeah.
And they still fill in that void, but a beat is not missing. You still keep going. And I love how everyone's so strong and interesting enough that you can keep following people despite who's there or who's not there.
Right, putting challenges for the community, how they come up, you know, how they face these challenges this year. There's a financial crisis that the whole town had to sort of rally. There was a railroad. I mean, this is an interesting time period. It's right, you know, when, you know, our world was about to change from, you know, to a more modern, but it's not quite that yet.
Right.
So it's a great time period to be telling stories.
Did you know about this time period before you came to the show?
I knew about the time. I mean, I didn't. I really wasn't that attuned to sort of the history of the, you know, when things started, and now I'm becoming much more attuned to it.
Right. Yeah, I was always wondering about that. It's like you're writing a period piece, yet it's very contemporary, but it's like it's set in a period.
And those are the stories you want to tell. The stories were, for example, with Jack being a military man. We felt that would connect to a contemporary audience because they're dealing with those very same issues, those very same emotions.
Yeah, and especially because it is 1915, just in the story time, Canada is technically at war, in World War I. Is there a reason why we didn't touch upon just the war involvement of Canada, or do you feel like the stories and the characters were big enough to just focus on?
Yeah, I think we want to focus more on our community rather than sort of what's historically going on around them.
In the original One Calls the Heart novels by Jeanette Oak, the Mountie goes off to World War I and is gone for a long time.
Yeah, a long time. It's a long time.
Well, our war was against thugs, whiskey runners, and just criminals, sort of mafioso. Right. So,
still dangerous.
Which also existed at the time.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, but we just felt like that would be something that was be more containable, you know, in within the scope of the show as opposed to World War One.
Also, more historically accurate as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that. So we know that you guys write and film in block episodes, and some writers are designated to like two episodes, and then it passes off to the next one. How, as writers and producers and directors, do you make sure that you all have the same through line through every episode, even though you're in kind of a block contained mindset?
You know, the writers, the showrunner and the writers will just make sure there's, you know, that's the same three or four or five people who are going to be blocking all the stories out. So we keep track of
continuity,
the continuity of it all, and then we have really the same directors who are great, who have been directing all of our episodes, and they're very familiar with the show and the actors and the characters.
Yeah, there's a good ecosystem that everybody's on the same page.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And you have to be to keep the show still engaging in the same dynamic throughout. No matter how much is changing, everything still feels the same.
Right.
We haven't always done the best job of weaving in the mythology of the place, from previous seasons. Sometimes we miss things that we forgot we did or whatever. It's just because you're just, you're working a mile a minute.
Yes.
But I have to say, this season was so beautifully, there was so much verisimilitude with the rest of the show, with the rest of the seasons. Mm-hmm. There was an attention to detail that was fantastic. And to echo some of the big moves of the past was huge. At resolving Tom and Julie and all those things.
Yeah, we're happening, you
know,
yeah.
Very, very, very strategic, very important for the show. And I just, hats off to you guys, Alfonso. You guys have done great.
Yes, yeah. We agree with that.
Yeah, my question to you, Alfonso, actually, because you're fairly newer to the show. You're all caught up now, obviously. But getting involved kind of late in the process, what voices or what characters or storylines like really appeal to you in a fresher eyes kind of?
Well, before starting, I did the binge watching, so I knew the history and watched all the shows. And I've said this before, how I really connected to this show is there's this acronym that I created in my mind that how the show works for me, which is it has humor, emotion, and romance. And it's just her. So whenever now I look at a script that comes out, I look at it and I say, is there enough of her in it?
I like that.
And if there isn't, then I either have to add more emotion or more humor or romance. But there has to be like the right mix of those elements for a particular episode to work and resonate.
The her cocktail has worked really
well. Yeah, yes. I like that. Her. I like that. I live for her in there. Yes.
And you both, obviously. And everybody has done an amazing, amazing job this season. I mean, we felt so many different emotions, ups and downs, and the emotional upheavals. But it just shows how well the show has done when we can feel so deeply.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Invoke quite the response.
Yeah. Yes. And I was binge watching. I was binge watching with some box of tissues next to me.
Oh, I know.
It was hitting me.
Yes, we don't have tissues today. Yeah. We should have.
Well, that's how I came to the show with Marissa. I didn't see season one. I watched it all in like one weekend. And so I was like, oh, I'm totally hooked. Totally hooked. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, you like the show, James. You'll like it. And I was totally hooked.
Yeah.
And season one, seeing it all back to back. So, folks, you ever see it? Just watch them back to back. They're fun to watch, and have tissues and anything they pray for. There's stuff that just goes on. It's amazing.
The Hardys are definitely feeling. And speaking of Hardys, James, you want to shout some?
I want to say hello to the 394 Hardys that are watching right now.
Hi, nice.
That is just amazing. People like Lori Pearson, Chick Hula Girl, I don't know who you are, Royal Masterpiece, I Heart Knit, Christine Fosnight, Tiffany Brennan, Chickens, hi Chickens, you're in there, we love Chickens, Lisa Colangelo, I always say that it's the last time I'm saying it this season, Jeanette MSU, Jeanette Stevens, Lee Beth, Maya Ruffin, Robin Graves, Janet Idzak, I think I say it every time, I hope I'm saying it correctly, Idzak, Debbie Welch, Vanessa O'Hare, Jamie Ann 211, Christine Frodenberg, Everything of Music. Oh my God, that's new.
So many Hardys.
So there are a lot of Hardys. Lori, like I said, Lori Pearson, Stacey Matthews, Bobby Schulte is in there, my buddy Bobby. Yeah. Sunshine Hardy, I like Sunshine Hardy, I know you. It's funny because we go through these, and I know some of these names. We know them, at least we know some of them personally, we know them from being on here. Just amazing people, Joyce Bryson, Jordan Blackstone. We love you so much.
Jordan. Yep.
Love Jordan. I mean, just like and they show up again. They show up for us all the time. But it's like there's close to 400 Hardys in here.
Amazing.
Yeah. Live.
That's great.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Yes, thank you. Summer Reyes, Sophia Sunday. I mean, it's like Kimberly Brood. There's a lot in here. A lot.
So, I mean, and you always speak to the Hardys every single week. I mean, you guys are very interactive with them, and I think they're definitely appreciative of that.
Well, we as we have said multiple times, we love the Hardys. We just do. We care about them. We care that they're hurting right now. We are sad for them. We want them to, you know, to come through that process and that catharsis. But one of the things that we sort of discovered, you know, in trying to figure this out, this transition with Dan, was that you have a bunch of choices, right, about how to tell a story in terms of resolving a character like that. Well, we went through the list, and Lori talked about this on Facebook Live today. Went through the list. Okay, you break them up, right? You break Jack and Elizabeth up. Or they fall out of love with each other, or they fall in love with somebody else, or Jack's duty is more important to him than her.
Right.
The Hardys would hate all of that. They would hate every one of those. And while the death of Jack is extremely traumatic for us and for all of us, we all feel this, the only way for him to leave her is in a box.
Right.
Sad to say that so crassly, but it's just the truth. And we had to find a way, and Alfonso did, find a way to leave that couple at the best place they could possibly be in their romance and in their life, married couple, home from their honeymoon, best place they could ever possibly be, and that's when he has to go. Because if you end it any other way, everybody bails. Everybody says, no, we don't like the show anymore. This is not, we hate all that, right? And even though this is a very cathartic transition for everybody, it's the only way.
I agree.
It works. It could have worked.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
And in the same way, you have fulfilled everything that the Hardys wanted to see out of this relationship.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, we wanted to see the engagement. We finally got that. We wanted to see the wedding. We finally got that.
Right.
And we're getting to the pregnancy.
Yes, right.
Elizabeth is having a child now. So how do you think, because Jack is not going to be there, what storylines can this open up for Elizabeth?
I'm giving that one to you.
Well, that's what, you know, we're working on that right now. And it's, you know, I want to have some good surprises, nice surprises for the audience.
Right.
But, I mean, obviously, as a single mom now, she's going to have her own challenges. Again, and that's also something that a military family has to do.
Sure, right.
So it's going to be, again, contemporary. There's going to be a contemporary feeling to these stories, I think. But we will sort of touch on a lot of different areas, but I don't want to give any spoilers right now.
Because no spoilers.
Of course.
But you guys haven't started filming anything yet, have you?
No.
Yeah, they haven't started filming yet. So somebody asked.
But the writers are working.
They're working. They're working. And I just want to state out there, because this is what I do on the show. I'd like to state certain things that executive producers and writers and showrunners don't talk to most fans. They don't on social media. They may have social media handles, but a lot of times they stay silent. I do a lot of shows after episodes. Marissa, this is one of the first groups that I know of that where they actually interact. And Brian Bird actually takes the time out to interact with you guys. It's very rare. So I appreciate it very much. You guys do because you're taking time to be on it. Like, a lot of times it does not happen. It's very silent. It's just there's a wall there. You really do appreciate the Hardys. I can tell, and I've known you for three seasons now. That you really do.
Well, it's family. It really is. I mean, we all feel this way. The cast, the crew, everybody up on set, you know, that's a family there. But the Hardys are extended family in Hope Valley. And they love the values and the virtues of the place. They love the fact that it's a place of hope, faith, love, and community, right? Because they kind of want their community to be that way. Right, and so they have their Hardy parties where they gather together.
Yes, they do.
And
they've
been to some. Yes, they do.
They pray for one another.
They do.
That's something you don't see very often on a show. But I think the thing that for me in you know when this first started in season one, we were just trying to make a good show.
Right.
We didn't know from like social media and you know how to do all that stuff. I mean, it was just sort of emerging at that point. And we were just trying to make a good show. But when people started to ping us through, you know, Facebook or Twitter or find us somehow, You know, I said to my partners, I said, guys, they're talking to us. We got to talk back. And one of our rules needs to be they all deserve an answer.
I like that.
Right?
I like that.
Whether or not it's a retweet or a pat on the back or a like, or you know, that's an answer too. But they all deserve an answer. And through this traumatic thing that we've just all gone through, we're going to do our best to answer all of those. That's why we did the Facebook Live. That's why, you know, part of why Alfonso and I wanted to join you guys, because we knew this was a, you know, pretty big deal. We want to provide as many answers as we can. We understand folks are upset, some of them, you know. But I think the lion's share of them say, we get it now, right? We understand it's hard, but we get it. And for those who, you know, who can't take it, that's okay. You know, God bless. You know, we want you to stick around for sure. Don't go away, because I think that you'll come to a place where you'll get it and where you'll feel okay.
Yeah, exactly. Acceptance. You guys are doing your job. This, like I said, this was presented to you. You're doing your job and you're moving forward. And that's what we do. And they want to give you the best entertainment, you guys. They want to give you the best entertainment.
Right.
They do.
Yeah.
And the Hardys are saying they're spoiled. We get to talk to Brian. They said we're spoiled. We get to talk to him. And you guys are. We just many shows don't do that at all. They don't give any consideration to the fans. They just don't. It's all about just the dollar and the views and the, you know, and Hallmark Channel too also is very vocal on there and talks to us and talks to the family. Like it's a great network.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know.
Well, it's really challenging in today's day and age when there's a million shows out there and a million people, other people wanting to break through and have their content out there. You know, getting past sort of the noise of all that is hard. And the Hardys are like a bridge past all that. They're like a big giant bridge past all that, because they become sort of the marketing department, you know, of the show. Not that we're trying to use them for that, but they do their evangelism, right?
Yes,
for the show, because they love it so much, and that's how word of mouth spreads. That's how grassroots really happens.
That's
yeah.
very true.
Agreed. And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that Jack Thornton School is named after him. But it also opens the opportunity for, like, happy endings, you know, or happier storylines to come in the future. Because, yes, he did pass, but his legacy will still live on.
Yes.
And I also want to give an honorable mention to, which is a strong honorable mention to Jack Wagner, his scene... Yes. With Lori Loughlin's Abigail. I mean, I've watched Jack Wagner. Okay, you know, folks, I'm a little older than some people. I did watch General Hospital back in the day when he was on there. He was Frisco.
With his mullet.
With his mullet. And his song, All I Need. Yeah, that song. And Melrose Place. Big fan of that one, too, when he played Peter. I almost forgot how... Because he's so funny as the anti-hero on the show. He's so good. But that scene was so genuine, because they were friends. Him and Jack were... Right. All male Hardys out there, there's some great male relationships on this show. That's why I really love why you should watch it. Some good ones. And they were a great representation of how they were friends.
Right.
He missed his friend. And he said he was like a son to me.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I guess he's a little older than he was older than him. I don't forget that too, kind of. And when he got the tears in his eyes, he was talking to Abigail. I lost it, too.
Yeah.
But saying that he was being sensitive about that men can be sensitive and miss their friends, too.
And I loved what you did there, Alfonso. She finishes it by taking his hands, and they bow their heads, and they're going to pray.
Right? Yes, that was so good. This. So
I got to say, that was Lori.
Oh.
Love it.
Lori doing that on the set.
So she beautiful.
Oh.
Amazing.
Wow. Okay. Well, they know the characters by now. I mean, 5 seasons in.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was a great moment.
Great improv.
That was great improv. Yeah. He's like, I should leave now. She's like, no. And then she puts her hands out. It's like, that was it was beautiful. And again, the shot pulling out, it was very, but I forgot how well he can really act in a serious, dramatic scene.
Right.
He really showed, I mean, he was just tearing, I mean, hair out of place. I was like, that's authentic.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it is. Well, before we get to predictions, one last question. You said during the Facebook Live you wanted, this isn't the actual tone of the show. It's not always going to be sad. We just needed to get through this episode, these moments with Jack's passing, but it leaves the door for more opportunities, more storylines, and a happier note.
Right.
And so I can't wait to see what storylines you have for season 6, because it's coming.
Yeah. No, we're planning already planning on a big board sort of these big emotional stories, and but from a different, you know, sort of the, just your sort of goosebump kind of story and humorous story. And again, going back to the her part of it all, that these are all going to fall within that parameter.
Right.
You had a lot of E in this one.
a lot of E. Will there be a Christmas episode to help bridge this season for the next year?
Yes, there will be.
He's writing that one right now.
He's writing it right now.
It's a Christmas episode.
He's writing it right now.
All right. Well, before we go, we have to do predictions, of course, because
Here we go. My last time this season.
Yes.
Buzz TV.
James, quickly.
Predictions.
Your thoughts.
I have a deep voice. I want to use it for something. It's just something that I would like to see, and someone brought it up, they thought I was bringing it up. I like that in the background in some of the scenes, we are seeing some diversity. We've seen there's some black folks there, and the Asian guy, we see how he had his arm hurt one episode, and he was flying the other episode. So I'd like to see a few more of that running around in Hope Valley. Yeah. I like that, because I'm thinking that should start happening soon, right, at that time period, so it should be happening. So I'd like to predict to see a little more of that.
Yes. More
inclusive.
More inclusive. But I know it takes time. You kind of have to in the time period. But I've seen that because the one guy, I think, was a blacksmith, isn't he? And he had some lines this season. You gave him some lines this season, so it was good. I was like, okay, I see some in the background. I see some more.
Yeah.
Some more.
She wrote that too in her scene.
I did write more minorities. I'd like to see not necessarily a replacement for Monty of Jack, because no one can obviously replace him, but I think someone will come to the town and might actually oppose Elizabeth. Like, they're not going to get along, and I think that would make some great drama, too. Someone completely foiled to Jack was.
Right.
That makes for a great drama.
Right. Yeah, you don't replace a character that's irreplaceable. You have to do something different.
Write something else. Yeah. So, thank you so much for joining us.
I know.
It's the finale.
This is
our honor.
Oh, my gosh.
It's our honor. It's been, thank you.
Thank you.
So much. So, James, where can we keep following you, then?
I want to say my grandmother passed away. Speaking of passed away 8 months ago, tomorrow is her birthday. Oh. And I would have been with her. I used to go every year to New York for her birthday. So I want to give a shout out to her and dedicate this episode to her, because she saw me on TV and before she died, and this was the show she saw me on.
Oh, wonderful.
And she was like, what's the YouTube? What's this YouTube thing? So I had to show it to her, and she saw it, and I want to give a shout out to her. You can find me at James Lott Jr. My latest book is out called 6 = 1. You get it on Amazon, and I will see you guys next season, I guess.
And Alfonso, and can people follow you on social media? Do you have?
I'm not on social media.
Hashtag Alfonso.
We're working on that, though. We're working on that.
That's
going to change with the Hardys next season. And Brian, everyone can follow you
at BR Bird on Twitter and Brian Bird on Facebook.
Where can they find you, Marissa Serafini?
Everyone can follow me everywhere at Serafini TV. You can follow all of us here, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, on AfterBuzz TV, everywhere. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Maybe we can see you for HFR 4.
We will do it.
That coming?
It's happening,
you guys. It's our 4. It's happening.
Brian said it. It's happening.
It's happening.
Thank you so much, Hardys, for following us all season long.
Yes.
Keep it going throughout to the off season.
Oh, shout out to
Hardys Forever.
Maria Provenzano.
Yes, Maria Provenzano. Yep.
Shout out to the Hallmarkies.
Yes.
So on too. Shout out to them too.
Yes. Thank you, Hardys, for following us all season long, and we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later, Hardys.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.